You can find them at the iTunes store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman, and he's the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And Jacob, I would love for you to talk about the experiment that physicist Arthur Zajonc did in photographing light, and his conclusion, which was very surprising.
You see, the main thing is that people don't understand what light is. Einstein spent his whole life trying to figure out what light was and said at the end of his life he knew no more than he did at the beginning. We think light is a thing. Light is actually just an infinite potentiality. Light is actually formless. It is totally invisible. You cannot see it. So our experience of light is something that appears bright. That's a perceptual phenomenon. That's not light. It's just brightness. So what Dr. Zajonc did is he created this very interesting experimental set with some sort of a box where they filled it up with light. They basically had light filling up this box. And of course, when you think of something filled with light and you look at it, it's going to be filled with light, which we think is brightness. But when they actually looked at it, it was as black can be. But you don't need an experiment to actually get that. If you go into outer space, which is totally filled with light, it is as black as anything can be black. So the point that we're making is light is not what we perceive. Light is actually a formless essence from where all matter arises from. Light itself is invisible.
So where does it become visible? Where we have the perception,
right,
of light. I mean, I'm looking behind your head and I see there's a lamp on and it looks like it's luminescent and, yeah, and light, and the room is full of color. So where does this perception of light come if it's invisible?
So you're asking me the question of the ages, you know. How did we get here? How does this all come about? In science, they call this the hard problem. The best way that I can respond to you is this. If you ask a physicist and you say to them, are there colors in the world? They'll say there are no colors. Are there sounds in the world? No, there's no sounds. Are there smells in the world? No, there's no smells. Well, what's out there? The only thing that's out there is energy. And when that energy interacts with our perceptual mechanism, then we see something, we hear something, we smell something. In order to see something, we need an eye, whether it's a human eye or an animal eye or a creature's eye, that's connected with something called consciousness. To hear something, you need an ear connected to consciousness. To taste it, you might need a tongue connected to consciousness. So the interesting thing about your question is, if you ask a scientist about the nature of reality, what's out there, they'll say it's just energy. That's all that's out there. So then the neuroscientist says, well, then it's in your brain. So we start looking inside the brain, and by God, we can find no place in the brain where any colors exist, any sounds exist, any smells exist, or any tastes exist. Well, where is this life we're experiencing? It's not in the external world. It's not in the brain. And yet this is all we experience. So that's the magic. That's the thing that no one's ever been able to understand, how nothingness emerges into somethingness. The physicist David Bohm, a wonderful theoretical physicist, he said all matter is frozen light. Light is the potential for everything that exists. How that transmutation occurs, that alchemical process of light becoming life, I don't think anyone knows. But that statement is very important, because the fact that life emerges from light means that light and life are the same thing in two states of existence. One is formless and the other is formed. What's really phenomenal about how light guides the body is that we think we only see with the physical eyes. The body has trillions of cells, and all of them have eyes. And those eyes are designed to detect and respond to this invisible essence called light. So when people say, I had an insight, I had a precognition, oh, my intuition gave me a hint, I had a glimpse of something, I had a flash of something, those are all expressions that are essentially describing that some aspect of our humanity was sensitive to this invisible essence called light. And we often say hindsight is 20/20, but in actuality, foresight is 20/20. We are designed actually to be precognitive, to know what's coming before it comes. I'll give you an example. A bear in the forest, couple months before the temperature starts to get cold, their skin, they already know, something inside knows it's going to get cold in a couple months, and it starts to thicken its skin and its fur, so when it gets cold, they're already adjusted to it. The birds know well in advance when they have to start flying south. All creatures know precisely when to reproduce, because they're continually being guided by changes in light and darkness. We are no different than those creatures. And because so much of our world is visual, this is why I say what catches your eye is what's looking for you. Because when light touches the eye reflexively moves towards that which calls it. The body then reorients itself. And at that moment, at that instance, when that download is happening, that next piece of our life's curriculum, that's called presence. So presence is when the eye is in a state of coherence and congruence with the light that is called it. And what is the light? The light is the intelligence of life. This is why God is referred to as light, and why, for a physicist, light is the ground of all reality.
Now, Jacob, we don't just need the eyes to perceive light.
Right.
Because we see it in our dreams.
Absolutely.
And so speak about that.
Understand that all the cells of the body have eyes. So our physical eyes, the ones in our face, can be closed. And then we have these very elaborate dreams that seem filled with brightness, with color, with sounds, with smells, with tastes. They're so real. We awaken, we say, oh my God, I thought for sure it was real. But it's even way beyond that. There's an experience that I mentioned in the book. When I was inducted as president of ICM, and 3 weeks later, somewhere in the middle of the night, something was aware of my body sleeping. Something was aware that my body was either having a dream or a glimpse of something. And whatever was aware noticed the whole thing going on. And in this case, the awareness was of me doing the presidential address at the ICM conference 1 year into the future. Now, I could spend all day talking about this. The point I'm making is that these direct experiences like this are so profound that they change your sense of knowing about everything. Because for that to occur, all of a sudden you realize that time is just a concept. Space is just a concept. Past and future are all concepts. Because a year later, everything that I saw a year before actually manifested. So I have no idea how these things occur. But what I've come to realize is there's a lot more going on than what we're aware of. And these things are very, very important because they give us a glimpse of the enormous nature of our humanity, that we are much more than what is visible, in the same way that when you see a tree, you're only seeing that which is above the ground, but something three times that size, which is keeping the entire tree stable and nourished, is totally out of sight. So we have a very, very rich nature that is always at play and not visible to us. We are aware of very, very, very little of what's actually occurring.
All of what you're saying somehow occurs to me as a very hopeful way of seeing, a hopeful
sure.
insight somehow.
Yeah.
I can't explain why it seems hopeful, but just I just feel some hope when I hear you.
Well, I'll tell you what it is for me. I'm in love with life. And I've come to a very sweet place in my life. It's a very humbling place. I don't know exactly how to speak about it. I'm with the love of my life right now. We just met 3 years ago, but I've never experienced this level of love in my life. And it has a lot to do with living choicelessly. What does that actually mean? I feel totally guided in my life. Just as I sat here, I didn't know what you might ask. I didn't rehearse anything. It's all happening by itself. I find that this isn't only happening when I'm asked to speak. It happens all day long. I feel like I'm literally taken from one place to the next in terms of where I need to be. I don't need to give it a thought. And of course, when someone says that, you say, well, you're just a couch potato all day. You're not doing things.
Wait just one moment. We're going to take just a brief break because I want to know more about that. I'm here with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He's a vision scientist and the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman, and he's the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light unlocks the art of living. And Jacob, you were just talking about living in this choiceless way of following what attracts your eye. And you just said, well, some people would say, well, then that means that you're just going to be a couch potato. So can you explain how this works?
You know, we're all looking for health and happiness. I call it contentment. We're all looking for a life that is not perfect. There's no such thing, but a life that feels wonderful to live. And we got clues about that from very wise people about how do you find that way. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus is quoted as saying, when you see up as down and down as up, when you see the outside and the inside the same, when you see a man as a woman and a woman as a man, when thine eye be single, then you shall enter the kingdom. What he was saying was, when you no longer say this is good and this is bad, when you actually see everything just as it is, then you enter the kingdom. One of my favorite quotes is by Sengsten, the third Zen patriarch. And he said, the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, the world is clear and undisguised. Make the slightest distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. If you wish to see the truth, hold no opinions for or against anything. To see what you like against what you dislike is the disease of the mind. When the deep meaning of things is not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. What Sengsten was saying 1,450 years ago, and Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas, is that if through some grace you come to a place of choicelessness, then you enter the kingdom. You find the great way. We might call that contentment. Somewhere or another, when I wasn't looking, it found me. I don't know how it occurred. I don't know any methods to tell people. And now I find myself in this very sweet place at the age of 70. And obviously, as we age, you know, we get little aches and pains and things going on in the body that we didn't have. But then there's this other piece that's ageless and timeless. I notice as I look at the external world, things change. People get older. I always feel as though I'm seeing through the same eyes, as when I was a little kid. So one of the key pieces or discoveries that brought me to this place is we're led to believe that we are our minds. This is my mind. This is my point of view. These are my beliefs. I can change my mind. I don't mind that. All these different expressions. I shared something before, but it's worthwhile to share it again. The reason that we are all aware when the mind is active is because we are not the mind. We are that which is noticing it. If you think that you're this continual chatter, that's these continual ideas that are going on in the mind, then your physiology is going to reflect all those beliefs and states of mind. That's what the whole science of psychoneuroimmunoendocrinology is all about. But if for an instance, you see from no point of view, from the middle, what Jesus was speaking about, or Sengsten, if you realize that you're not the changing mind, but that you are that which is observing or noticing it, the silent observer, then all of a sudden, the world can go up and down and in and out. You're aware of it, but it doesn't cripple you.
So I want to kind of bring that into, like, physical reality,
yeah,
if I may.
Sure.
Because I know you talk about how in living choicelessly and following that which attracts your eye. So I've ever since I read that in your book, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to kind of experiment myself with that a bit and start to do that which is attracting me and following through with that, completing that task, whatever right. is calling me. So I've been trying to follow that myself. And the question is, and I think you really kind of answer this a bit, you say, okay, well, what about, you know, paying the mortgage, or what about paying, you know, doing, I don't know, getting the groceries or whatever. But that's all part of it, because when you say when the bill comes, pay it. When the phone rings, answer it.
Right.
When somebody expresses love, express it back, whatever it is. So it's not that we're not handling the details of our life.
It's incredibly simple. You see, what grabs your attention is being animated by the same thing that animates the timing of the rising and setting of the sun, that the beating of our hearts. So stuff doesn't just happen. It happens at a precise instance because that is the instance. I've come to have such respect for the timing of things that the moment it comes, I automatically respond to it. You'll never see my bed unmade or dishes in the sink or bills to pay or phone calls to respond. Anyone that works with me knows I take care of it. I take care of it. What's interesting is it never feels overwhelming because I realize that life has already prioritized everything. I don't need to do that. And so people say to me, well, what if you don't have the money to pay the bill? Great. Then what you do is you call the person and you let them know you don't have the money to pay. And you let them know that you may only send them $2 this month. But you'll take as long, and every month you're going to call them and let them know how much you owe them and what you'll send them. You just take care of things in whatever way you're able to. That is the most powerful experience of presence that one can have, much more than sitting in meditation with your eyes closed, because you can only do that for so long. You have to go out into the real world, and you have to take care of things there. So life provides a way for us to continually experience meeting things, responding to things, completing things, and in the process, we gain an authentic security in our ability to meet everything.
So we don't build up a backlog, so to speak.
Right, right.
And then I don't want to leave this conversation without having you say something about, you mentioned meditation, but about the breath and how important the breath is to, how helpful it is to be aware of our breath.
The breath is the most fundamental movement of the whole universe. It's not something just happening within us. First of all, we're not breathing. Something is breathing us. Our body is continually expanding and contracting, as is every cell and every cellular component in our body, as is all living things, as is the earth, the solar system, the universe. They're all doing the same thing. Expanding and contracting. That rhythm is like the heartbeat of life that's entrained into all living things. None of us like the feeling of not being able to breathe. We know that when the breath stops, something is on its way to perishing. So noticing that, I realized, well, what causes that breath to stop? And when I did a real live experiment for many, many, many years, I realized that every time we think, every time we try hard, the breath is held. Every single time.
So efforting is...
Any efforting. Because, see, the whole universe works under the law of parsimony, which means the least effort necessary for something to occur. It's not supposed to be work. It's supposed to be free of charge. So essentially what I began to notice is that when the mind is active, the breath is held. When the breath is flowing, the mind is quiet. So if I just follow what's calling me throughout the day, there's not much to think about. There's not enough time to think. You just respond to everything as it calls you, and you sleep very well at night.
Oh, Jacob, thank you so much for being with us today. We could talk about so much more, but I think that you've given us a lot to breathe in.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure to see you again.
Thank you. My pleasure as well. I've been here with Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. He spells his last name L-I-B-E-R-M-A-N. And he is a vision scientist and the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, jacoblieberman.org, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3636.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore new dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Robinson, author of More Love, Less Conflict. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how you can use simple communication methods to create more love in your life.
The FCAT After School Podcast is back for its third season.
Starting January 10th, you'll hear interviews and profiles from Simon Fraser University's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology alumni with lives lived and stories to tell.
Subscribe to the FCAT After School Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be sending a new episode down your feed every other Wednesday starting January 10th.
Or catch us on 90.1 FM CJSF every Tuesday at 4 p.m. starting January 16th.
You're listening to